Where do I go when I die? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Where do I go when I die? Well, the belief is that we die. You get buried in the ground and so forth. Well, now, is that true? Is that true? What happens to a tree when it dies? Well, it doesn't really die. It lives on as a tree. The tree lives on in one memory point of view, as we remember that tree. The tree lives on in its seeds. Now, the tree disintegrates as it decomposes in the ground, and the bark and the wood and so forth become solid or become growth in the ground for plants and nutrients and so forth. It never really dies. We think it dies. Now, what is the tree? Does the tree have a soul? Well, why do we complex ourselves with that sort of thought when we don't even know if man has a soul? Does man have a soul? What is a soul? Well, we think that a soul is our immortality. We think that our soul is our self that lives on forever and never dies. We think that our soul is that which is one as the divine creative cause of the universe we call God. We think of our soul as the essence that we are, the reality that we are, the substance that we are. Now, and of course, we don't think of soul as having substance, really. We think of soul as having essence, but not substance. It's like a concept. It's a thought. And that's perhaps just what a soul is. And that's really just what you and I are. We are thoughts. Now, in our lifetime, we have had many thoughts. We've had thoughts about happiness and sadness, and thoughts about success and failure, and thoughts about love and lack of love. Many thoughts, millions and millions of them. Now, these thoughts are quite impressive. These thoughts are quite imaginative. We have the thought that we have a beautiful body or we have a not beautiful body. We have the thought that we are a man or a woman. We have a thought that we are good or bad. We have a thought that we are successful or not successful. We have all those thoughts. Now, where do those thoughts go? When we die, where do those thoughts go? When some very successful person dies, is all that that person was, the success they were in life, is that all gone? And the answer is categorically yes. The world here that we live in is an illusion. It's an illusion of, and it's a game, and we're playing it, but it's but a small part of the game. I like to tell the story about the great chess man from Russia, who could play so many games of chess at one time. And he'd be in a tournament playing with four or five or more contestants, and he would go from table to table and make a move, and by the time the tournament was over, he had won all the games. Now, he concentrated on many games, and other people were concentrating on one. And the people who were concentrating on the one, they couldn't even beat him. They couldn't beat him because he had a winning consciousness. He had a winning attitude. The other people, without knowing it, were beating themselves. They were manipulating themselves to lose because they knew this player of chess was so fabulous, so good, that he was going to be tough to beat. Because he just sort of clued in on their moves and their foolishness and their making attempts to do things, and he just knew right where to walk and accomplish whatever he wanted. Well, now, That's a magnificent attitude to have. That's a magnificent attitude to have, and you see, would that we could all have that attitude of playing each game that we play without thinking of the game we are playing somewhere else, or thinking about what we are doing in some other game, or are we learning something in another game to help us here or not, or are we playing this game with our entire heart, mind, and soul, and doing it with all of our interest and all of our love? Well, I can assure you, the chess player who played these many games, he was not concerned with what he did in game 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, 30. He was only concerned in the game that he was playing at the moment, in the now. He lived so in the now, so perfectly in the now. And he played the games so perfectly in the now. He had no concern about anything else. He wasn't concerned about being thirsty, having an upset stomach. He wasn't concerned about going home to his family. He wasn't concerned about anything else. He was only giving his 100% attention to the now in a particular move on a game that he was playing. And when he went to the next game, he completely changed his attitude to a totally new game, which the other game brought to his attention. And he played that game magnificently and beautifully. You see, he lived in the now. He lived as we all might live in the now, so beautifully, so wonderfully, so perfectly, that every game was a game that he won handily. He didn't win the game because he was more genius than the other people. He didn't win the game because he was able to concentrate one-pointedly on the game. He won the game because in his consciousness, his attitude was, I am making a move which is the ideal move. And the ideal move can only result in the ideal conclusion of the game, my winning it. And that was his thought. Now, he wasn't anxious. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't uptight. He was just living in the now. Well, in a manner of speaking, this is what we do. We are playing many games of chess at the same time. We are living on many levels, many dimensions of life at the same time. And because we are so one-pointed, because we are so able to play one game at a time and concentrate on it 100%, we don't realize, and truly we don't realize all the other games that we are playing. If we were just to enumerate the games that we're playing in this life and how well or how poorly we're playing them, it would give us an idea of what we're doing in the infinite, in the absolute, in the allness, wherein we do indeed never die. Our brain, our mind, our genius, our creativity, our our beingness, our thoughtfulness is on and on and on and on all dimensions. And that's quite exciting. Now, if we could give every moment of our life the 100% attention that the chess player gave to his game of chess, we would live so contentedly, so comfortably, so happily in each game that we're playing, that we wouldn't be concerned about death, we wouldn't be concerned about where we go next, we wouldn't be concerned about the experiences that we're going to have or do have. We just live in the now, in a very happy and a very wonderful and a very positive and a very beautiful way. And it is exciting. Where do we go when we die? Well, where do you go when you finish playing one chess game, or when you have made a move and then you're going to put your concentration on another game? How do the great CEOs operate the multinational, multilateral businesses that they do? They have people to keep happy. They have businesses to keep happy. They have ideas to expand upon. They are working on such a large dimension, large number of possibilities at the same time. How could they be successful in any of them? Well, they are like the chess player. They give 100% of their attention to whatever it is that they're doing right now. And because they give 100% of their attention to what they're doing right now, they are at peace. They are totally successful. They are harmonious. And when they start worrying about what they're doing, or worrying about what other people think of them, or what the other people in the world expect of them, then they go down the hill and they fail. You and I live our life so beautifully, so perfectly, and we don't need to fail. We don't need to fail. We don't need to worry about where we go from here when we die, because that never happens. We never die. We live eternally. Thought cannot be killed. Thought does not die. We are a thought. Our body is a thought. Our mind is a thought. Our brain, that is. Our thinking system is a thought. Our world is a thought. We are all thoughts. And thoughts don't die. Thoughts can be picked up at a later time and be thought again, brand new, fresh, just as though we never thought of it again. How many times have you gone to the movie or bought a DVD, and perhaps you looked at it, and then 10 years later, you looked at the same DVD again, and you thought to yourself, my goodness, this seems all so different. Well, you're a different person now. You're looking at it with a million different lifetimes from when you looked at it only 10 years before. And when you looked at it 10 years before, you were a different person then too. You were a person who had different types of input that you'd had up to that moment. And now you have all these other inputs into your life in these think systems, and so you're looking at that DVD from a totally different point of view. Oh, you see some similarities. You remember some of the plot, but the little innuendos, the little nuances that make the movie the glorious thing that it is, that you don't remember. And as you see them again, you say to yourself, ah, yes, they must have done that, but I don't remember that. That seems brand new, sparkling and wonderful. Well, you don't remember how many times you have, so to speak, died, how many times you have put down your thought and stopped thinking about it, how many times you have taken the idea of life and set it aside. And you may, like we oftentimes refer to our body as a coat, and you may put on a different coat, and you may throw off the coat, and you say, well, someone else will pick up my coat and wear it. Well, if they do, they will wear it from a different thought structure than you did. They will wear it as a coat to keep them warm. You wore it as a coat to look good in. Somebody else wears it as a coat to hide in, or to cover up when they're taking a nap or something. It could be a great variety of reasons, a great variety of lifetimes, a great variety of dimensions of life. You can't die, because thoughts don't die. Thoughts are merely set aside and renewed from time to time. And we are but thought. Truly, we are thought. If you'll be honest with yourself, you have to admit that you're a thought. And I'm always so interested in how people, they have their parents, and they were raised with their parents, they love their parents, they admire their parents, they do everything they can to make their parents happy. And yet, as soon as they can, they move out of the house. They move into their own world, and then they start their own family and their own life, and oftentimes quite forgetting their parents. And that's fine. That's the way it should be, because they are creating a new life. Now, they die to their parents. They die to the old relationships they had with their parents, but they don't think that's death. They die to the relationship of living in the house where their mother and father provide them with food and clothing and training and so forth. We don't think of that as dying, and yet, as surely as it is dying. It is leaving the old behind. Where do I go when I die? Well, we go so many places and so many things and so many wherevers. We are endless. Truly, we are endless. We are always living. We are always experiencing. We are always being. And if for any minute, if for any second, I want to be with my mother again, and remember the good times that I had with her, as she would fly with me to the different churches around Southern California, and I would speak to them when their ministers were not available. And she would stand at the back of the church, and she would greet the people as they were leaving the church, and she would say, "That was my son. That's my son, Herb." And they delighted with her, and I delighted with her. And as I recall that experience, I am reliving it. Isn't that what we say? We relive it. And I live through that dimension again. And where I had died to that dimension before, now I'm reborn in that dimension. But now the dimension is different because I have other awarenesses in my heart and in my being that tell me about what that dimension was. And I think about the dimension quite differently. And I'll probably come back. Not come back, I'll probably reveal that dimension in another way at another time. Just like our chess player playing many games of chess, I play many games of life. Many games on many dimensions, and I love them all. And because I am a very harmonious, loving person, every dimension that I exist on and play on and live in is a glorious, beautiful, fabulous dimension. Where do I go when I die? You don't really think I die, do you? I don't. You don't either. Nor does anyone else. We may lay our body down. We may go through various steps in the way. We may buy one car and another. My dad had a 37 car that was just fantastic, and it was nice. But then he bought a 41 car, and then he bought other cars. And each car is in my memory, and I can step back into time and be there and live. And the car didn't die. The memory didn't die. I just moved from one memory to another. I moved from one thought to another. And each thought was just as glorious as the other. Where do I go when I die? I don't die. I just have wonderful, beautiful memories, wonderful, beautiful thoughts of who and what I am, and who and what my world is. It's a good thing to think about, isn't it? There is no death, for we live eternally as our thought. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.